in church. I'm going to ask you all to please stand with me if you're able. We're going to turn to page 695. We're going to sing Meet Me There. Page 695.
Each and every one of us, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we may absorb the Word of God today, Lord. Let us lift up Jesus Christ tonight, Lord, and learn more about Him, Lord, as we may live for Him. Lord, we just thank You for these things now. Lord, we just thank You for these things. We thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness and Your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn over with me to page 388, The Haven of Rest. All right, we're going to go ahead and sing this one a cappella, page 388, Haven of Rest. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul that's definitely one of my all-time favorites. I got a lot of favorites, but my wife knows. Something unexpected happens, and you got to plan a funeral. We got to sing this one. You're going to sing this one. I know she doesn't hear about the funeral. I'm just saying, sing this song. Anything has to do with me, sing it. I love this song. By way of announcement, all we have tonight is if you are going to be coming this Friday for New Year's Eve to watch that movie, and we got to play games, possibly play games, yeah, maybe play games, probably play games. You're going to come over and have a fellowship. You could just sign up over here. That way we know head count as far as getting pizza and if you're going to bring anything, just so we kind of know what's going to be here. But other than that, that's all the announcements we have for tonight. So for our final song, turn over with me to page 580. 580, another one of my favorites. He leadeth me. Page 580.
We'll probably take one more service after this one here this evening to kind of wrap things up here, looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and blessed hope, the conversion of the church to heaven. Ephesians or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. We'll read it here again tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, "But I would not ask you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, but word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." With these words that I just read, the Bible says in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Pray to lead, guide, and direct. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I looked at last week. We looked a little bit. It took some time. We went through Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31, dealing with Jacob's trouble. Talk about how there's three groups of people in the Bible. You have, especially in the New Testament, you have Jew, Gentile, and you have the Church of God. We look at those verses in 1 Corinthians 10:32 and also in Acts 10:28. And in order to understand your Bible, you have to be able to rightly divide your Bible.
Amen.
Some individuals say, well, there's no divisions in the Bible. Well, obviously you don't have them then because you have the Old and New Testament. Right there is your basic division in the Bible. Now, God has dispensed things or dispensations in the Bible. You have dispensation of NCC, law, human government, promise, the church, the kingdom. You have different dispensations in the Bible where God has brought something in further during the time from Adam and Eve up to right now. We're not going to look at those this evening.
But I will say that there's a difference between the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking about the pre-tribulational rapture, how I believe that the Bible shows that the church will not be around when the Antichrist shows up on the scene. Okay? When the tribulation starts, when those days start, and we're going to look at it tonight, I believe the church will be gone, then that man of sin will be revealed, and then the seven-year tribulation will begin, but the church will be home in heaven with the Savior. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that verse 17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Okay, to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to get into some of these things this evening. But for review, last week we also talked about how the tribulation concerns the Jews, it affects the Gentiles, and the church, it's missed by the church. All right? Take your Bible real quick this evening and look over at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. Revelation 6, 16. Just for review here, there's times in the Bible where it talks about the wrath of God or the wrath of the Lamb or the great day of His wrath. And here's an instance in Revelation 6, verse 16. You see here, and it said, "And he said to the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath." Who? The Lamb's wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The wrath of the Lamb, the great day of his wrath. Take your Bible and look over at Romans. No, look over at Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. We looked at these last week, but for just a quick review for a moment, the book of Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse number 6. For the sake of time, Ephesians 5, 6. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God the children of disobedience. Okay? I'm not going to read it, but Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 talk about the wrath of God. Colossians 3, 5 through 7 talk about the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 talk about swift destruction, talk about their judgment of long time lingereth not, and a damnation slumbereth not. And also, take your Bible, look at Job. We didn't look at this one last week, but look at Job chapter 21 and verse number 30. Job chapter 21 and verse number 30, talking about the wrath, the day of wrath that's going to come. The book of Job, chapter 21 and verse number 30. Job 21, 30. Look what Job says here, chapter 21 and verse number 30. This is Job speaking. Makes an interesting statement here. He says that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Who's going to be brought forth to the day of wrath? Children of disobedience, the children of Israel. Now we're going to look at some verses tonight as we go into this, and I want you to pay attention because it's key concerning the tribulation. Why does there, now there's been movies been made about the rapture. There was a book series that came out years ago, I don't know how many parts it was, on the rapture and the Antichrist. Those types of things sell movies. Okay, it's a moneymaker. But my question to you tonight is, why does there have to be a tribulation? Why does God, why is all of a sudden the Bible show that the great wrath of God is going to be poured out there, and we read about most of it in the book of Revelation. Why does God pour out his wrath upon this planet? Some will think, well, it's the wickedness of everyone around here. And I would say yes, some. But primarily the tribulation and God's wrath and God's punishment is coming upon the children of Israel. It's to the children of Israel. And we're going to see the scriptures tonight dealing with that. It's because the children of Israel and the rejection of God all through the Old Testament, there so often, if you read through your Bible, read through the kings of Israel. There was not one good king of Israel. They set up high places. So often God says, you did worse. You had more wickedness than the nations that were around you that were pagan and heathen nations. Israel took that paganism and went even farther with it than even the pagans took it. Israel's wickedness was so bad that they were offering their children as sacrifices to false gods, killing little babies, offering them as sacrifices to Molech. If anybody ought to have known better, it ought to have been the children of Israel. They were God's chosen people. So I believe that the Bible shows that God's going to pour out his tribulation and his wrath upon the nation of Israel because of their rejection of him throughout the Old Testament and ultimately the rejection of the Messiah. They knew, brethren, and we're going to see it tonight because we're going to look at it. They knew the general time frame of when the Messiah was going to show up. They knew it. The Lord told them when the Messiah was going to show up. They might not have had the exact day, they might even not have had the exact year, but they had a close enough approximation of years to know, okay, he should be showing up right in this section right here. We should be looking for the Messiah. And they rejected him. Now, so we looked at some verses dealing with God's wrath. But the Bible also says in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Take your Bible, look at John, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. John chapter 3, and look at verse number 36. We'll read verse 35 for context. John 3, verse 35. The Bible says this, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given him all things, and hath given all things in his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But look what happens. but the wrath of God abideth on him. Who does the wrath of God abide upon? The individual that does not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, the wrath of God abideth on them. Those that receive Jesus Christ, they have eternal life. Now, take your Bible, look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. The Bible says here, and to wait for his son from heaven. Now it's interesting, we'll get over to, we read chapter 4 talking about how the Lord's going to appear there in the clouds with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Then the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall meet them meet there in the air. He says, before we even get to chapter 4, he says here in chapter 1, verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, look what it says next, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There's wrath to come, but the Bible says that Jesus and a belief in Jesus Christ will deliver us from the wrath to come. And then we get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I believe that is the deliverance. Before that wrath starts, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Flip over to chapter 5, the next page over probably in your Bible. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verse number 6. Paul's getting ready to close out this letter to the Thessalonians. Look what he says in verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Look what it says in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the church, believers, those that are in the body of Jesus Christ, He is now in you, you are now in Him. We're one in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says here that if we're in Christ Jesus, God hath not appointed us to wrath. What is that wrath? I believe that's a tribulation. God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 24. The 7-year tribulation. Where do we get a 7-year time period or time frame? First, let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and I want you to look at verse number 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. I said it before, and I'll say it again. You read through, a lot of false doctrine comes from Matthew 24 and 25. A lot of false doctrine. A lot of people want to take Matthew 24 and 25 and throw the church in the middle there. The church is not here. The church is not in Matthew 24 and 25. Look what it says here in verse number 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Okay, who's he talking to here in chapter 24? He is talking to the Jews. Understand, and we're not going to go through. If you want to go back to Matthew 23 and read up on into Matthew 24 for the sake of time, I'm not going to do it. Jesus is talking to Jews. There's no there might be Gentiles on the outskirts, but Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to the Jewish people. The church isn't even set up yet. The church isn't on the scene yet. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross. He hasn't shed his blood. This is to the Jewish people. And look what he says. Matthew 15. When ye therefore shall see, he's talking to the Jews, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. That holy place, and we're going to get to it, is the temple. The temple is going to get rebuilt again. Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Look what it says next. Neither on the Sabbath day. Now get the picture here. The church is gone. The church has to be gone because we don't observe the Sabbath day. Right here in Matthew 24, they're observing the Sabbath day. And the Lord says here, and I prayed this before for the nation of Israel. I prayed this prayer before. I said, Lord, that day that occurs there, Lord, you said to pray for. I pray, God, that that day wouldn't be on a Sabbath day. You know why I pray that it's not on a Sabbath day? Because on a Sabbath day over there in Israel, when everything's shut down. They can't even drive their cars. They can't start a fire. That's why they don't start their cars. They don't even use some elevator. There's some elevators in Israel that are automatically set to go to each floor on the Sabbath day so they don't have to push the button, because they think when they push the button, they're igniting a fire by making the light come on behind the button. They take it serious over there. Israel shut down on the Sabbath day. So the Lord's saying, pray that it's not on the Sabbath day when everything's shut down. This day is so serious. This is when, to me, we're going to look at it. This is when the great tribulation kicks in at the 3.5 year mark. It's going to be a time of great tribulation. Lord's saying, don't even come down and get any more clothes. You get word of this, you start running. You don't even worry about clothes. You don't worry about nothing else. You don't go back into your house. You get out. Because the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple and he's going to proclaim himself as God. And the Jews that are starting to come around and trying to do what's right, they're going to realize this isn't right. This is not the Messiah. And they're going to flee to the wilderness. Young brethren, the church is not here. It says in verse 21, look what it says here. For then, after what we just read, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Those elect, that's the Jews. That's the Jewish people. Brethren, this is not church. The church hasn't even been birthed yet, for lack of better words. This is the Jewish people. These are the Jews. Take your Bible, look over at Daniel. Now, Daniel matches right up with what we're reading here in Matthew 24, Daniel chapter number 9. The book of Daniel chapter 9. Book of Daniel chapter number 9. Look at verse 24. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. The Bible says here, Gabriel giving this vision and these words to Daniel, and he says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who's that? That's the Jews. He's talking to Daniel. He says to Daniel, he says, listen, Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. What's that? That's Jerusalem. Why? Why are these 70 weeks determined? For what purpose? To finish what? The transgression. And to make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All Jewish. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Azariah and Nehemiah. Cyrus and Artaxerxes. You can read about it in Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, Nehemiah 2, Nehemiah 3, 1. The Bible says here, information was given to Daniel, and he says to Daniel, he says here, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and he says, understand here in verse 25, that know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. When was that? That was with Cyrus, Artaxerxes. They gave a command there, and you read about it in Ezra and Nehemiah. They went back, and they started to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple. And the Bible says from that point up to, from that point when that decree was given, up to that point to where the Messiah was come, they had a time frame, and they knew when the Messiah was going to come, because he said, look what he says. He said 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks. You have a total, and I have my board, but I messed it up today, so I couldn't bring it. You have 70 total weeks. We're waiting for that last and final week. It hasn't happened yet. You had 49 years. That's 7 weeks. Look what it says. It says 7 weeks and then 62 weeks. 7 weeks starting out. That's 49 years. 1 week equals 7 years. Okay? So you have 7 weeks times seven, that's 49 years for them to restore Jerusalem. From the time Jerusalem was restored and it was given, you have then 62 weeks, which is what? 62 weeks. 60 plus 2, that's 62 weeks. So you have 62 plus 7, that's 69 weeks. You have about 49 years roughly from them, for what the decree was sent to rebuild Jerusalem. That took about 49 years. And then from that point up to the Messiah, it was about 434 years. So 434 years plus 49 years, around 483 years from the time the decree was set to where the Messiah was going to show up on the scene. They knew. They had an idea from the time when Cyrus said what he's going to say, whatever year that was, the Jews could have added that up and realized at the time of Christ, this is the Messiah. It was not a surprise, brethren. For the Jews to say today that they're looking for the Messiah, they're not reading the book of Daniel. Any honest Jew, if he were to look at Daniel chapter 9, would have to say the Messiah has already shown up and we missed him. Who was he? 69 of the weeks have already been fulfilled. There's one last week. And it's been going on now. We've been waiting for that last week, these last 7 years, for around 2,000 years now. Around 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, this thing's been put on pause. Why has it been put on pause for around 2,000 years? Because of the church. Because of the bride of Christ. You see, the bride of Christ in the church was a mystery. It was a mystery. The Jews didn't comprehend. The Jews knew and know that someday a Messiah is coming back to rule and reign on this planet. They know that. They know their Messiah is going to come back someday and deliver them from all these other nations and set up his earthly kingdom. They know it. Why, though, has there been 2,000 years of silence? Any honest Jew, if you were to ask them, and they got their answers for it, but even a Jew today isn't doing exactly what they need to be doing according to scriptures, if they're a practicing Jew. They need to bring a lamb for the Passover. They don't even have a temple, but they will have one here. Brethren, I'm telling you, we need to draw closer to the Lord, closer to His Word. Who knows what this next year holds? I know this is the last Sunday in 2021. But I don't know about you, these last 2 or 3 years, especially the last 2 years, have been crazy. Things happening so quick, things in the entire world, things happening so quick. things that you would, if you would have said 10 years ago that Australia would be like a prison, I would have looked at you like you're crazy. There's things happening all around the world that don't make sense if you don't know God. But if you know God, you realize that these things must happen. To look at a Christian and think he's crazy for saying that soon someone's going to show up on the scene and sweep this world off its feet. The world's going to be happy for it. So you have 70 total weeks once they're laid out completely. You have 7 weeks plus 62 weeks to the showing up of the Messiah. You have this determined upon thy people in the holy city. You see, 1 week is left. The Bible says here, look at verse number 25 again. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That's when Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the sins of mankind. He pays the price for the sins of mankind. He didn't die. He died for us. And the look at that six next. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, the people of the prince. Who came and destroyed the city and the sanctuary? The Romans, AD 70, Titus, came in, destroyed Jerusalem. That was 70 AD. That's what the Bible's talking about right there. But then you go on to the next part of the sentence, and it says, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now look at verse 27. Now this is talking about the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The Antichrist is going to have some major connections. The Antichrist, he's going to have some Jewish, I believe he's going to have some Jewish blood in him. If not Jewish, I'm not completely sure. But he's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Brethren, something's getting ready to happen. I don't know when, I'm not setting no dates or times or anything, but something's got to happen to where this takes place, where somebody shows up on the scene and confirms a covenant. Something's got to happen sometime. Some type of shakeup's got to occur too, because you're going to have, after we're gone, you're going to have 10 kings come on the scene. Brethren, it was probably 10 years ago. I had heard word through some of the news that there was talk even at one point you even saw it over there in Europe, the European Union. A lot of countries weren't happy with what's going over there because it took away national sovereignty. You had at one point here that they were wanting Canada, United States, and Mexico to be all one type of nation. To where you could just travel all the way through from Mexico all the way up to Canada. The destruction of national sovereignty, you see that occurring today. You see it in our very nation. We're all one. We're all one big world. Let's all just hold hands and get together and sing Kumbaya as we welcome in the Antichrist. Destroy national sovereignty. Brethren, these things are happening. This Antichrist, verse 27, says he's going to show up and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And look what it says. And in the midst of the week, back to Matthew chapter 24, what we just read over in Matthew 24, verse 15. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consumption. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In the midst of the week, in the midst of that covenant, 3.5 years in, the Antichrist is going to go into that temple. He set himself up there as if he's God. It's going to be the abomination of desolation. That's talking about and spoken there in Matthew 24. That's where the Lord says, listen, when this occurs there in Jerusalem, in the center of Jerusalem, at that temple, when you hear word of this, don't even get your clothes out of your car, out of your house. Just run and flee. He's going to pour out his wrath on the Jewish people. He is going to pour out his wrath upon the Jewish people. Now, as we read Scripture, we also see this type of statement in Scripture. The saying of time, times, and a dividing of times. That's 42 months or 1,260 days, and they all equal 3.5 years. Okay? Take your Bible and look at Daniel 7. Flip over a couple chapters to Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 25. Look what the Antichrist is going to try to do. I'm telling you, some crazy stuff's coming. I'm glad I won't be here for it. Daniel chapter 7, look at verse 25. Verse 24 talks about the 10 kings, the 10 horns of the kingdoms, the 10 kings that shall rise. And look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into the hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. That's when the great tribulation kicks in and starts. All right? Take your Bible, look at Daniel chapter 12. Last chapter, Daniel chapter 12. And look at verse number 7. Daniel 12, 7. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, look what it says next, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Midst of this time period, Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, try to finish this up this evening here as well. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And look at verse number 1. Now, not all the events in Revelation are in chronological order. And when we look at Revelation 11, we'll probably stop here. This might be a good stopping point. Because I want to look here at a moment at the two witnesses that are going to show up. Okay? But look at Revelation chapter 11, verse number 1. And there was given me, this is John, okay? And John's saying, and there was given me a rod, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot, look what it says, 42 months. That's going to start and occur at the midpoint, the great tribulation, when he goes in, the Antichrist goes in, sets himself up, takes away the sacrifice, oblation, acts like he's God. That's when the holy city shall he tread underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. But then we switch gears and we go into verse number 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. There's those numbers again. 1,260 days. God's going to give power unto the two witnesses to prophesy. Okay? Now, what did we read in verses 1 and 2? That the Lord, or the angel speaking to John here, and he says, take a reed, and he says, I want you to measure the altar and the temple of God and those that worship therein. This is not the temple that's in heaven. This is a physical temple here on earth. And he's having John measure it, and even talks about the court, the temple of God. All right? And then he switched gears and he says, okay, and I'm going to have two witnesses, and they're going to prophesy for 1,260 days. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the temple of God here and look at some verses that refer to us now as we are now the temple of God. But there's coming a point to where the church, which is now the temple of God, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit now dwells within you, and you, your body now is the temple of God. I can't fathom it. It still blows my mind away times where I think that God dwells within me. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, dwells within me. We'll look at those verses next week. But think what confusion there would be if the church was still here and now all the focus is switches over there, back to the Sabbath, back to temple worship, back to sacrifices, back to oblations. Now you have Moses and Elijah on scene for 3.5 years. And look what happens when they're on scene. We're going to close with these verses. I read Revelation sometimes, and I know a lot of, there's people out there think it's all allegories. And no, I take it literal. Right? Revelation's literal. But look what happens here. Look at verse 4. These are the two olive trees spoken of, that you can find that in Zechariah, and that's a whole other study. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Look at verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Brethren, can you imagine seeing that? I believe it's Moses and Elijah that the Lord's talking about here. Moses and Elijah prophesying, if any man tries to hurt them, fire is going to proceed out of their mouth and devour those that will try to hurt them. You want to talk about a, for, Lord, forget this, I'm not trying to be just, you want to talk about a superhero. You're going to have these men of God, and ain't nobody going to be able to touch them. And if you even try to touch them and hurt them, you're going to be consumed with fire, and that's the way you need to die if you try to hurt them. They're going to be in the midst there of Jerusalem prophesying for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Look what the Bible says next in verse number 6. This is where Elijah comes in. Who had power to stop rain? Elijah. Elijah had power with God to stop the rain. Look what it says in verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn into blood. Who had power? Who did that? Moses in the book of Exodus. Have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Who's got experience with that? Moses. The plague of lice, the plague of the frogs, the plague of the waters turning to blood, the boils, hail and fire coming down from heaven, the great moraine that came upon all the... Moses, this is Moses. Verse 7, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which is spiritually, look how the Lord refers to his chosen city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days. Very interesting. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. This thing is going to ascend from the bottomless pit. He's going to have the power to take out Moses and Elijah. He's going to have the ability to kill them. He's going to kill them. They're going to die, and they're going to lay their bodies are just going to lay there in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, the Bible says. Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." They're going to be ecstatic. The world's going to be happy. You want to talk about news spreading through news agencies? These two men that have tormented us, they have prophesied against us, they've said all these things about the Lord and His coming, and whatever else they prophesy about, and they're finally gone. This beast here, as it says in verse number 7, that ascends out of the bottomless pit, is able to make war against them and overcome them. This is our God. Thank you that you came on the scene and took out these two men. What great power you have. You want to talk about deception. Strong delusion. Listen, if the Lord doesn't shorten those days, even the very elect would perish. It's going to be a time like no other. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. You want to talk about getting my attention. If all that already didn't get your attention, verse number 11. "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Can you imagine being around at that time on this earth where that beast descends out of the bottomless pit? He's able to make war with them. He's able to overcome those two prophets. He's able to take their lives. They fall down there in the streets of Jerusalem. They lay their dead bodies, or let their dead bodies stay there for 3.5 days. They rejoice. They're ecstatic over this individual who's come on the scene and able to take them out, the ones that tormented them. And they lay there for 3.5 days. They rejoice. They send gifts one another. They make merry. And then all of a sudden, after 3.5 days, the Spirit of God comes down upon them and they stand up on their feet. You want to talk about losing your loins and your bowels? Imagine walking by that day and you say, "Yeah, see what happened to them? Yeah, I was here 3 days ago. I was here 3 days ago and that he took them out. He killed them. I'm glad he killed them." And all of a sudden, when you're speaking that, boop, those two guys stand up on their feet. You want to talk about being scared? I'd run up to the hills. I'd be going all the way up to Jordan. You'd have to catch me. Can you imagine that? "Yeah, these guys, they're gone now. They're dead. Let's send. Thank you for that gift the other day you sent me. I'm so glad they're gone." And all of a sudden they stand on their feet. And then all of a sudden you hear a voice from heaven and God says, "Come up hither," and you see them start going up into the air, up into the clouds. You want to talk about a scene. But brethren, even through all that, those people won't humble themselves before God. You can see all these things happen in the book of Revelation. And God shows us that men still will shake their fist at Him. Say, "We know you're there. We know you're doing this. And you just wait, because we're going to fight against you and we're going to beat you." Does Antichrist that come on the scene, false prophet, we're going to take you out. We're going to take you out. Brethren, if I saw somebody that could have fire come out their mouth, I don't know whether that's literal. I don't know. I know Elijah called fire down from heaven, or fire came down from heaven when Elijah prayed there with the prophets of Baal. I don't know how. I don't know if it's actually going to come out of their mouth. All I know is I believe those individuals that try to hurt them, two prophets, they're going to be slain with fire. If I just saw that, I would want to hear anything they got to say. Like, okay, what do I got to show me something here? Show me what I got to do. Show me what I need to get made right with the God of heaven. And then if I see them die and then get up and then get caught up in the heaven of God, I would try to go back and get any recordings of their prophecies to try to follow what they were saying. But yet mankind's heart is hardened towards God. Amen. Next week, Lord, when we'll finish this thing up, look at a few more things concerning the church. I believe the Bible's plain and clear on it. I don't think the church, I believe that the Bible shows it clearly that the church is not subject to the wrath of God. The church will not go through the wrath of God, which is what the tribulation is. I believe God's pouring out his wrath, his indignation, his anger upon his children of Israel, because of their rejection of him and their worship of false idols and gods through the centuries, even to today. There's a small remnant over there of Orthodox Jews that are trying to serve God right according to the scriptures, but the vast majority of Jews over in Israel want nothing to do with the true God. The vast majority. And they pray for Israel, pray for our country, pray that our country, that we would continue by God's grace to support the nation of Israel and do right by the nation of Israel, and leave the nation of Israel in God's hands. That's God's business. Those are God's people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray these things made sense, dear Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you just give greater clarity to all of us, dear God, what your scriptures say concerning the blessed hope. Lord, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Lord. Give us even a clearer understanding, Lord. Help us to purify ourselves, Lord. Help us to make ourselves ready for that day when you're going to call us home. Lord, we don't know how soon it could be. Lord, it could be tonight. It could be next. Lord, we don't know. Just help us always to be, help us, Lord, as your word say, Lord, help us, as your word says, to love your appearing. Lord, help us to be believers that love your appearing. Help us to be ready. Help us to be sober. Help us to watch and be on guard and be ready for your imminent return. And Lord, we'll glorify you for it. And thank you for our salvation. And Lord, we pray these things all in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Let's close with a hymn here. Page, I want to sing this song here. My favorite song.
Glory of Christ, and die for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that ran astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Pain was high for many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Angels of darkness still come o'er me, sorrows past I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river holds its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the light
your word to your own brothers and sisters in Christ. Hear your word preached. Lord, I pray that we've learned today, Lord, that we would soak it up, Lord, that we go back, we visit these verses, study it out, Lord, and just see what your word has to say about this, Lord. Lord, I am thankful for my salvation, the salvation of others, Lord, and the fact that I will never have to face that tribulation.
Amen.
I am thankful that you will take me out of here, whether by death or rapture, Lord, and I'm excited to be home with you. Lord, we just thank you for church, Lord, we thank you for this church, we thank you for our pastor, Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray you help us to serve you this week, Lord, to walk with you, to talk with you, to spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer, Lord, to be the light in people's lives around us, Lord, that they'd see Jesus Christ shine in us, Lord, help us to just to build a relationship with you day by day. Lord, I pray you keep us safe as we travel home. Lord, I just pray you bring us back safely again Wednesday night, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. Give you all the praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.